Small Town Podcast is made possible by generous support from the Georgia Municipal Association. GMA supports Georgia cities.
I hereby call this episode to order.
Hey, small towners, it's Mayor Matt Seal, and this is episode 3 of the Small Town Podcast. So in our last two episodes, you got to hear quite a bit from Lace Futch. And while Lace is still very active in his local government, he certainly is considered, you might say, old school. Now, some people think that all small town officials are just like Lace. Today, we're going to visit with someone who's just a little bit different. He's a young mayor with many years left in his potential career, even though he's actually been serving already in his local government for about 12 years. We're going to visit with Mayor James Eubanks in the small town of Pelham, Georgia. Come go with me. Growing up in coastal Georgia, I only thought I lived in a small town. As soon as I graduated high school, I moved to the big city of Atlanta for college and to start my life. My life is a journey, and I ended up in Ocilla, Georgia. Population 3,400. We've got two traffic lights here. We're not looking to get a third anytime soon. Some years later, the people of Ocilla made me their mayor. Man, I love living in a small town. Other folks do too. This is the Small Town Podcast, and I'm your host, Mayor Matt Seal of the great city of Ocilla, Georgia. So here we are on our way to Pelham, Georgia. From Ocilla, Pelham is a little less than an hour and a half drive. Start out on U.S. Highway 319 out of Ocilla, go all the way to Moultrie, and from Moultrie, Georgia, a fine city, but not quite a small town. We got on Georgia Highway 11 for a good little bit, and my trusty GPS just told me to turn off on a nice little country road called Harmony Road. Some beautiful country. I'm just hoping the GPS knows what it's talking about. It usually does. And hopefully we'll get to Pelham. All right. Well, you'll be glad to know the GPS was correct this time. It usually is. And we are in the nice little small town of Pelham, Georgia. One particular building rises above the rest. I think we'll talk about that, the hand building, with Mayor Eubanks when we talk to him today. Nice town, railroad tracks running through. Looks like they're using their depot for some offices. I believe it used to be City Hall, but it's not You've anymore. Arrived. All right, well, let's go in and talk to Mayor James Eubanks of Pelham. All right, here we are in Pelham, Georgia, and I'm honored now to be joined by the mayor of Pelham, Mayor James Eubanks. Mr. Mayor, thanks for being a part of Small Town Podcast.
Thank you, and thank you for coming to Pelham, Mr. Mayor.
Absolutely. It's good to be here again. We were talking before we got going here. James and I actually met before either of us were mayor in January of 2015. I was invited to be the keynote speaker at the Pelham Chamber of Commerce Chamber Banquet. I'm still not quite sure why, because at the time I was actually not a member of my Chamber of Commerce back in Ocilla, and actually made that part of my speech to talk about the importance of effective chambers. I think I remember a few people being a little nervous when I started out that way.
Yeah, a few gasps in the room yeah. when you started that.
I think it turned out okay. I am a proud member now of the Ocilla Irwin County Chamber of Commerce, I'll say, and I won't go into details as to why I wasn't before. But when I met James, he was actually the acting mayor because he was the mayor pro tem. And I remember saying something to the effect in our conversation about, oh, are you going to be running for mayor? And without hesitation, he says, no, pretty much indicating he had no interest in being the mayor, that he was fine being a member of city council. Not too long after that, Laura Beth Tucker,
who was actually from Irwin County, became the mayor. She was a part of that chamber banquet, and I think probably the reason I got invited to come speak. So she ended up being your mayor in Pelham.
She did.
Short-lived, I think, because she sold her house in Pelham. The house she got after that was in the nearby town of Camilla. And so you can't serve as the mayor of Pelham if you don't live in Pelham, can you?
That's
so
right.
You ended up doing that, and through a weird series of events in Osceola, having no experience or desire to be in local government, I ended up as the mayor of Osceola by the end of 2015, and you became the mayor. Was it in 2015 or early 16?
It was 2015.
Okay,
August of 15.
So you were the acting mayor at the beginning of 2015.
I was.
You had a mayor who actually came in, so you could go back to being mayor pro tem and you know, regular member of the city council. And then that was such a short-lived term that by the end of 2015, you were the acting mayor again and then the official appointed mayor.
That's right. That's right. That was an interesting year. I believe it was the first part of December that I had to step in as mayor when our other mayor resigned. At that time, we needed a city manager, so I was actually able to get Laura Beth to be our interim city manager mm-hmm. and take care of
yep,
the day-to-day.
That's right.
While we hired a city manager in January, then we had Laura Beth run for mayor in March, which was great. Really enjoyed having her here as mayor. She had great ideas, really helped us get back in the right direction. She moved in August, at which point they appointed me mayor due to the election cycle. And I had to be mayor from August to November and then run for mayor because we actually had an election in November.
Okay.
So that was a long year.
So the point of all that is you're listening to two reluctant mayors proud to serve their cities.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Well, let's just kind of start talking about you. Were you born in Pelham?
I was technically born in Thomasville
okay.
because we don't have a hospital in
all
Pelham.
Right, all right.
But yes, my family was in Pelham when I was born, so I am from this area.
Okay.
And lived here for 2 years. After 2 years, when I was 2 years old, my mother and I moved to Jacksonville, Florida. And even though I grew up down there, went to school down there, Pelham was always where family was. We came back for holidays, for summers, and it was a great vacation spot to me.
Yeah. So you still stay connected. It sounded like you got a few generations of Eubanks that are from the Pelham, at least the Pelham area, if not Pelham specifically.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Okay.
Going back several generations.
All right. So you and you were in the Jacksonville, Florida area all through school and graduated high school from there?
I did. I was fortunate enough to go to Douglas Anderson School for the Arts in Jacksonville, which is a great high school, great opportunity, and something that really only a city provides.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of got the best of both worlds.
Okay.
I was able to experience that in Jacksonville and then still spend my weekends and all out here on our family farm, which is right outside.
Yep, God's country here in South Georgia.
That's right. That's right.
So what after high school? What'd you do then?
Well, then I went a little south to Gainesville, Florida, because of in-state tuition.
he gives that caveat. He wants to make sure.
That's right. That's right.
He would have been happy to go to the University of Georgia.
I would have.
As generations of Eubanks have gone.
That's right. That's right. I've had several family members at the University of Georgia. Was raised a Georgia fan, but due to the cost of out-of-state tuition
at
Georgia,
that would have been out-of-state for you as a resident of Florida. Now, you tell me you have no problem rooting for Georgia, especially as their football team's done. But I think you've claimed you might be the only elected official in the state of Georgia that's a Florida Gator by education.
I think that may be true. And I do root for Georgia, all except for that one time
a year. Yeah, yeah. I have the same problem. I graduated from Georgia Tech. And so glad to see Georgia have a good season.
Yes.
And there's about maybe 5 or 6 of us in the state that are elected officials that went to the Georgia Institute of Technology. We need to start a club just for camaraderie's sake. We can give you a ex officio membership.
Yes, that'll be the closest
Gator.
I come.
That's right. That's right. All right. So what after college, what next?
After college, came back to Pelham, wanted to take a few years off to pay off some college debt and figure out exactly what I wanted to do long term.
Because even in-state tuition in Florida is expensive, right?
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. That was a great time to come back to Pelham. I really only expected to be here for about 2 years, but really wanted to just enjoy it. And after working for some larger firms in Jacksonville and having some other jobs, I really just liked the small town atmosphere.
Yeah.
I know that I can't make as much money here, and that's okay. The quality of life here is just wonderful. And it doesn't take long to be in a small community like this before they get you involved with everything.
That's right.
And you really see what you can be a part of.
Yeah.
And it was exciting to me to be a part of this community, and they've they've kept me here. So I'm happy to be here. I'm glad to be a part of it.
So you talk about small towns, really good to get you involved early. What were some of the things? Were there civic organizations or just functions in town that you got involved with early on, or maybe you're still a part of now?
There were. I was involved with the Main Street program. Then it was called Better Hometown.
Mm-hmm.
It was here in Pelham. I think that's about the first place I was involved. And then after being here a short while, they got me in the Rotary Club.
Okay.
And still a very proud Rotarian, very much involved with our club. And the Rotary Club is really what put me in politics.
Okay.
It was attending a Rotary meeting when there was some discussion about some of the practices of the city not being business friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And looking around the room there, we had a lot of the leaders in the community in that room. I said, nobody in this room is on the city council.
Mm.
There are elections coming up. It sure seems like, you know, this group of people who are very business minded, if that's the concern, need to look at who could run for the council. And so they put me up to it.
So you got the support of the Rotary Club.
I got the support of the Rotary Club. I didn't think that I would go very far. I was, I think, 25 at the time.
Okay.
And had only been in the club maybe 6 months.
Wow.
Hadn't been in town but maybe 2 years.
Early riser.
Yes. So it surprised me, but I ran unopposed.
Okay.
So I seated.
And what year was that?
That would have been 05.
Okay, so 2005.
Might have been 06.
05, 06.
Yes.
Somewhere in there.
I know. I should know.
I caught you on the spot there. Okay, so mid-20s. Family roots in Pelham, but it just kind of come here after living in Florida, growing up and everything, going to college in Florida, which you probably got some jokes about
from time to time.
But just saw it as a... They just saw you apparently as a person who'd be good in that position, and everybody got behind you. So you ran unopposed. I hear that it was the support of the Rotarians, and it was the idea of trying to have a better business climate in town. Anything beyond that that kind of really made you want to run? I've talked to you enough to know that you're like me. There's not necessarily political ambitions.
That's right.
So there's kind of some, you know, your motivations behind it have to be, hey, I want to get this done. I want to make this change. But what were some of the things you wanted to do that said, okay, I want to do this. I want to be a part of the council.
Well, truthfully, I think I came in so young and so new to Pelham that I didn't have an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really helped. For about the first 2 years on the council, I didn't have an agenda.
Right.
I was able to see what was going on. I was able to understand how things were working and see why certain things were being done.
Okay.
And that was great. It was an older council at the time. I was able to learn a lot from them. And the council started trending younger.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing to me now that I'm the longest serving person that's on there, and I'm only 37.
Yeah.
So it's been an interesting part with that. But coming in without an agenda, I think, allowed me to learn more about the position and certainly what we were supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't come in with an agenda saying, I'm going to change this. I came in with a mindset of, what's my role? What am I supposed to do? And going to GMA and getting training and figuring out, reading the charter, seeing what we're responsible for, figuring out those things really gave me a good direction in the future, I think.
That may have, because I didn't grow up in Osceola. I grew up in coastal Georgia, in a town called Hinesville. That's not a small town, at least not now. I thought it was small when I was growing up. It's been suggested to me that being an outsider, while it doesn't give you the automatic connections as far as family connections and everything, it gives me a perspective that is very helpful as far as being more objective about things. You seem to have the best of both because you've got the family connections. You can say, yeah, I was born in Pelham, even though technically it was Thomasville because of the hospital. But, you know, families here, many generations, but you grew up somewhere else. You have some different perspectives. So, yeah, that would seem to be an advantage. Any disadvantages you from not growing up here? Do you feel like it's sometimes harder to work with people on that you didn't go to high school with?
It is. That's one of the biggest things I see. You know, I have a connection here and certainly with family. And I know a lot of people that are my grandparents' generation, some that are my parents' generation. I didn't go to high school here, so I didn't know my peers. I didn't know my generation,
mm-hmm.
which has been interesting. Now, of course, I've gotten to know them
since
I've been here, but these are the up and coming, you know, business leaders are the ones that are of my generation and who I need to to foster these relationships with. I didn't know any of them when I came back. So that's been a challenge, but I think it's something we've worked together well on.
So I think you said before you were the mayor, you served two full terms on city council. Is that right? You were in your third term when you were appointed mayor?
I was in my third term. My city council terms were staggered with the mayor term. So I was actually on the city council for 10 years.
Okay. So in the first 2 years, it was a lot of learning, coming in with more questions than just here's the agenda, here's what I want to get done. But after that, as you learned, as you kind of saw how things were and maybe how things could be, what were some of the things that you sought to change and even accomplished as a member of the council, even before being forwarded into the mayorship?
Yes. Well, as a member of council, it was great that I was involved with our Better Hometown, our now Main Street program, and being able to see what we could do to develop our downtown. Mm-hmm. And this was also a time when all of us, we didn't know it then, but we had a good bit of money.
Okay.
The economy was good, things were going great, and we were willing to invest in our downtown and start doing things.
When you say you didn't know it, that you had money?
That's right. We thought that we...
what do you mean by that?
We thought we didn't have any money.
Oh, okay.
We thought that we were, you know, that we were challenged to do what we could with the very small budget that we had. We learned a couple of years later that it was nice to have a very small budget because then there was no budget.
Right.
And as the economy.
So you only knew that you had money before once you suddenly didn't have money, is what you're
saying.
That's
right. Okay. When we realized, okay, well, you know, we were willing to engage in some debt. We were able to buy a new building for City Hall and move City Hall into it, which was great for our downtown. It gave us a better center. We filled a vacant building that needed badly to be filled. Mm-hmm. And that also gave us an opportunity to use the former City Hall for a chamber welcome station, which was a great benefit. And we still have a hall there that's rented and all that can be used for the community. So we saw that as a great way to move forward. But as soon as we took out a mortgage and bought a City Hall building and put City Hall in it, we realized that the economic downturn made it very difficult to pay for the City Hall.
Yeah.
So we have turned that around. We've certainly stayed there and we've made it work, but I came in at a really good time. I did not know. I thought we had a small budget. I thought things were very lean. We've learned to be a lot more lean since then.
So. You talk of City Hall, and I probably should have said this at the very beginning of our talk here. When you built new City Hall, I guess they decided the mayor didn't need an office because we're actually sitting in James Eubanks' home. Very nice home. I think you said it was built in 1915.
That's right.
And we'll have some pictures of us in the setup here in the dining room. But yeah, no office. And when there's not an office, or sometimes even if there is an office, I'll set up and record in a council room. But when I talked to James and set this up, he said, well, that's not going to be a very quiet place because pretty much as soon as you walk into City Hall, you're in the council room, and that's where people are walking across to go pay their utility bills and taxes and maybe a fine.
That's right. That's right.
Stuff like that. So that's interesting. New City Hall, but no mayor's office, huh?
That's right. No mayor's office. There are a lot of offices in City Hall, and you know I can certainly have meetings there. We have a city manager's office I can use if I need to. But when we moved into the new City Hall building, we were looking at what all we could do with it. It's an old bank building. It's rather large. Had a great open lobby in the middle of it, which turns out to be great for a council chamber. Mm-hmm. And there are offices all around it that basically have glass windows that look into that space. So it gives it a really nice open feel. But we did want our employees to be in those offices, the people that were using them all day, every day. As I know you're aware, and many of the other mayors of small towns are aware, this is not our full-time job.
Well, that's what I was going to speak to.
We can't live off of this.
Yeah, because you still practice law.
Well, I'm a paralegal.
Okay.
I actually work for a law firm in Thomasville.
So how much of your time would you say that you spend being the mayor of Pelham?
I'm scared to figure that out. And it all depends on the week. There are certainly weeks where I may end up spending a couple of days here in Pelham dealing with things. And then there are some weeks where everything's running nice and smooth. And I put in a full week in Thomasville and maybe only get an hour or two.
You're probably scared to figure that out like I am, because if you take the amount you're paid and divide by the number of hours, you make below minimum wage, I'm sure.
Yes, yes. I would definitely say that. But I mean, and it's funny, when I came on the council, I didn't know the council was paid.
Oh, really?
Yes. When we got to the end, we were only paid once a year, right at the end of the year.
Oh, okay.
When I got paid, I thought this was amazing.
Christmas bonus, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it was almost enough to cover the taxes on my house. But that was, and a lot of us came on the council at that time, unknowing that we would be paid. Now that the economy is better, the council actually voted this past year a raise, and I believe it's the first raise that's been put in place, you know, in 25 years or
wow,
so.
Wow, okay.
But they did decide, you know, this we should have a little bit more compensation.
Okay, a little more money. No office yet, but a little more.
That's right, that's right. And truthfully, they tried it a year earlier and said, no, we're in.
Well, you can't.
You can't do this until we figure out how we funded everything that we used to
fund.
It's
not fiscally responsible or politically palatable to give yourself a raise when times are tight.
That's exactly right. But yep. It was great to have that discussion, though, because the council really looked at it and said, okay, these are the things that we need to be doing. And this is where we need to be contributing the time. One thing that really helped a lot is we have more council members engaged in more activities in town, different boards from recreation and things like that, that didn't have council participation before. So I really think everyone has realized, okay, great. We see that we should make more money for doing this. What are we doing to prove that we're worth that money?
Right.
They've stepped up. So that's been great.
All right. Got a few get to know you questions. So for those that didn't know James Eubanks, maybe those that did, they'll get to know him better with this. So
all right.
First one, do you or have you ever had a nickname?
Well, for the first couple years of my life, my mother called me Jamie.
Jamie.
Yes. And there are still a few people that knew me from an infant that will call me Jamie, but that was the only nickname. And it didn't stick past about the age two.
That was it. Ever since then, James Eubanks. Straightforward.
Yes. Well, I have a lot of family that have the name James.
Okay.
My grandfather was James. He went by Alan. I have an Uncle Jimmy, an Uncle Jim, and a cousin Jay. So all the nicknames were taken. I had to stick with James.
Well, I was going to say this. So they tried to go with Jamie because everyone else found something else. And you just said, you know what? Everybody else is going with something else. I'll just stick with James.
That's right.
Well, that makes
sense. I'll be the James.
All right. So if you had to, perhaps to defend the honor of your fair city of Pelham, if you had to sing a karaoke song, what would be your go-to karaoke song?
I hope that the honor of Pelham never counts on my ability to sing a karaoke song. I don't have a good answer to that. I can't think of one that I could sing well.
Well, that's okay. Karaoke's not about singing well. It's just doing it with spirit and having the words right in front of you so you don't have to remember them.
Well, now, if I have the words in front of me, I could pull that out.
Yeah.
But it would probably be a jazz tune or something that I could remember a little better.
And already know the tune.
Already know the tune, too. That's right.
Got one in particular?
Georgia on My Mind.
All right.
You can always get away with Georgia
there
on
we
My
go.
Mind in Georgia.
The honor of Pelham is safe now. All right. What is your favorite meal or favorite dish?
Ooh, well, you know, I'm from South Georgia. Fried chicken.
Okay. And if you could attend a concert, any concert of anybody, a singer or group, either dead or alive, who would it be?
That's a good question, too. Well, I would have to go back to the fact that I went to a school for the arts, and I played a French horn, which is a classical instrument, so I'm more into classical music. I would probably say I'd like to hear Itzhak Perlman.
Okay. Well, that's pretty cool. I actually played the French horn, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Fun fact.
Wow.
All right. Well, let's talk a little more. Obviously, we've talked about Pelham because you can't talk to the mayor of Pelham without him talking about Pelham a little bit already and talked about City Hall and some of the programs going on. But I guess give us a brief description. What makes Pelham so great or what sets it apart from other small towns?
Well, we really have great communities and I guess I should say neighborhoods. We have great neighborhoods, wonderful neighbors. We do have some of these, I think, beautiful older homes. They are definitely older homes. As a matter of fact, we're doing some work earlier in the year. We realized that the average home in Pelham, the average age of the homes in Pelham is 53 years, which tends pretty old. We don't have as much new construction, but a lot of these older homes have been maintained well.
Mm-hmm.
We have an excellent school system. We still have our independent Pelham City Schools, which is great for us and I think a real asset to the community. We have some wonderful churches in the community that are very active, and it's nice to have that in our community. We don't have manufacturing. Wish we did. We wish we had some more jobs like that. But it's really the small town, the safety, the knowing your neighbors, the knowing who your kids are going to school with, being able to very easily talk with all the administrators and teachers at the school, having a great Main Street program that's very active, having a great chamber that's very active, having so many things to do in a place where there should be nothing to do. We've told our friends very often, you know, come to Pelham. It's a great place where there's nothing to do and no time to do it because there's so many activities. But we just do have a lot of friendship, might be the best word to describe, because the neighbors all get together pretty regular at different homes for cookouts, barbecues. It's a great place
to make things to do because of the people that are, doing them together.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
So as part of my visit to Pelham, I had the opportunity to visit the Pelham Chamber of Commerce that's located in the old train depot in downtown Pelham and talk to their executive director about some of the things that you can see and do if you get a chance to visit Pelham.
My name is Caitlin Hatcher, and I am the executive director of the Pelham Chamber of Commerce.
We're going to talk about some of the cool things to do and some places to go in Pelham. You got a great downtown here. We're actually sitting in the old train depot that I understand was once City Hall and more recently became the Chamber of Commerce office.
That's correct. The chamber was moved here in 2010 and City Hall was moved across the street.
Well, we're in the middle of a conversation with your mayor, Mayor James Eubanks, and he's telling us what a great town Pelham is. And I can see that from just coming through here myself. But what are some of the specific things that someone could do if they came here to visit, some places they could go?
Like you said, we have a great downtown. We also have a lot of fun businesses in town that we have a lot of good things to offer. One of our locations is we have a local flower shop that's also a gift shop. So if you're ever to come in town and need that last-minute gift item or just some flowers just to put in your house or to take somewhere to somebody to make their day better, you definitely could stop by Cottage Flowers and Gift Shop. They have apparel. They have flowers, they have boxes of candy, they have flags for outside.
So more than just a flower shop,
you're saying? Yes, a lot more than a flower shop.
And they're right downtown?
Yes, they are downtown, actually on Matheson Avenue.
Okay. What else?
And we also have a great jewelry store that's been here for years. Hodges Jewelry has been here. There's a location in Pelham as well as in Camilla. We obviously love our Pelham location.
Yeah.
Not only do they specialize in jewelry, of course, but they have a lot of good gift items for people as well. That is our local jewelry store, and they have just all those great items that you want for your special one or just for anybody, really.
Okay. Got a couple good gift shops.
Yes.
What else? You know, another gift shop or what's next?
We have a great place to eat out here. We have Fratelli's Pizza located on Highway 19.
I actually know this one. I can endorse them myself because I actually happen to have lunch there with your mayor, Mayor James Eubanks, and actually your former mayor, Laura Beth Tucker, just happened to be in town that day. So the three of us, I guess we had a mayor's conference or council at Fratelli's. Great beer selection. Actually, I got a recommendation. He had some beers I had not heard of before and wanted to try, but wasn't sure which one, so it seemed very knowledgeable. And they have outdoor seating.
It's really good that they have outdoor seating with kids and stuff. It's a great location. It's on 19, but it's off 19 just a little bit. So if your kids mm-hmm. want to play outside, they can. They've kind of got like ropes around it so your kids won't go outside of that patio area, I guess. My favorite thing is they have these cookies, and they have these big cookies. They're the size of a plate, and if you tell them you want it after you eat, they'll actually heat it for you. So they have a lot of great, not only do they specialize in pizza, they have a lot of great things as well.
I missed out on the cookies, so yeah, it sounds like I'll have to go back.
One. Yeah. Definitely. We also have a really neat place. It's called Rockin' Stables, and it is located on Mount Olive, so just a little bit outside of the city limits of Pelham, but they have trail rides. They do birthday parties. They do trail rides for just yourself, for your family, or for a big group of people. They also do camps for kids. It's a really good place to go. They have lots of horses. They also do dog grooming, but it's really fun. They have where you can take the horse through a big trail ride, or you can just do some fun things in the arena area. So that's a really neat place to come to town. If you're ever in town, it's really fun. And then we also have this really neat place. It's called Camp Crosspoint, and it is located on Spence Road. And it is a very large camp. It used to be our old Chickasaw. So when I was growing up, I went out there and I was able to go swimming and all that. And now my kids get to go there, so it's really neat.
Oh, that's cool.
But they have summer camp, and they also have camp during the year. So like for spring break, you can send your kids out there instead of having to pay a babysitter or anything like that. You can send them a supervised camp all week, which is really neat. We have people from all over that come to it, people from Florida, people from Alabama, people from all over the state of Georgia, as well as outside the state. They get to come here.
Wow. Okay. Well, sounds like you guys got some things going on here. So if people want to come visit, there's some very, very fun things to do. Good place to eat. Good place to shop. You mentioned, we talked before, and there's several things to do throughout the year. And Mayor Eubanks was saying the same thing. But I know that you have, I believe it's the Wildlife Festival. So I wanted to ask you when that is, what that's about, and if you go ahead and sell people on why they should come to Pelham for the Wildlife Festival.
We have our annual Wildlife Festival. It is always the first Saturday in October. So this year it happens to fall on October the 6th. And it's right down here in our Freedom Park beside our chamber office. And we usually averaged between 10 and 12,000 people at it. So it's really just a huge event for our city. We have over 100 vendors usually. They can range from a hot dog booth to a funnel cake to jumping houses to arts and crafts, really anything we have at that day. And it's just a really good event for our community to come together. People from outside of our community get to come and see what small town Pelham's about and fall in love with the community just as we all have here. We have a 5K race that starts out that morning usually. And then once we get done with the race, we kind of kick off the festival at 9. All throughout the day, we have entertainment on the stage. And so we have local entertainment. We have people from around the state that come down and perform for us. And we also have added, and this is our fourth year entering to it, we have a barbecue contest. Around here, people love to smoke meat and things like that. So we have a barbecue contest. I get to judge it sometimes and just, or not really judge it, but I get to walk through.
What a burden you have to.
Yeah, it's a terrible thing to do.
Terrible.
So that's really always a hit. And then last year we brought back our street dance, which is really fun. Just something for the family to come out to and enjoy downtown Pelham and just get out and be with other community members.
Now that's a lot. Is that just a Saturday festival? Is it an all weekend thing?
No, it's actually just a Saturday.
That's a lot in one Saturday just described.
We kind of just pack your Saturday. Okay. Like I said, we start that morning around, I think our race usually starts, we say it's 7, but it doesn't actually start until 8, but you can get here and register early. And then we go through that, and we start the festival at 9. The festival's 9 to 4. We give you a little bit of break and then get you to come back out and join us that evening for a night of dance and fun.
So what are some of the other activities you guys have going on?
Yeah, we really stay busy here in Pelham. Our next event that's going on actually is going to be March 31st. We have our community-wide Easter egg hunt, and that's a pretty large event for us. It happens right beside our office again in Freedom Park. We love having things in our Freedom Park area. So that will be March 31st that morning, so just come out and join us for the fun on that. Then our Main Street actually is going to have a car show in Freedom Park, and that will be April the 21st. They have a very large car show on that, and so that's a big event for them as well. And again, it happens here in Freedom Park. And then we actually have our wildlife pageant. So it's not the same time as our wildlife festival, but we have a pageant, and it's April the 29th.
Well, you got to make sure you get the queen in advance of the festival.
That's exactly right. We got to make sure we have our queens ready so we can showcase them at our festival. So that pageant will be held April the 29th. Then we also have a few other things going on. We'll have our Slice of Summer. We usually get a big sponsor, and we have lots of water slides and water balloons and things like that in Freedom Park, and just kind of let the kids come out and have a good fun day in the sun. And it's free to the community. Actually, most of our events are free to the community. We just want to have community support and get our community together.
Caitlin, that was a lot you just said, and I know people they probably weren't taking notes just listening to us talk about that. So if they need to follow up on those details and stay connected to things going on in Pelham, what's the best way for them to get information and keep up?
Definitely they need to follow us on Facebook. Our Facebook is Pelham Chamber.
All right, everybody go to the Pelham Chamber Facebook page right now and go like it so you can see all these things going on.
Yes, definitely, and it will keep you updated. We also have our website, which has our list of events on our website. So if you go to www.pelhamchamber.org, you can actually follow and keep update on everything we have going on as well.
All right, sounds good. Caitlin, thanks. There's a lot going on in Pelham.
Thanks, we appreciate it.
Now, what's the population of Pelham, roughly?
We're about 4,000.
Okay.
Just shy of 4,000.
And I wanted to bring this up anyway. You mentioned the schools. You've got your own city school system. Now, Pelham's in Mitchell County. Pelham is not the county seat. Camilla is the county seat.
That's right.
And I was going to ask later about that. There are, if I remember correctly, 4 different school systems all in Mitchell County.
There are, basically, that's correct. There are 4 different schools. We have our county school.
Right, Mitchell County Schools.
That's right. And then there's a charter school, Bakenton Community Charter School, which is technically part of Mitchell County Schools, but is on its own as a charter school.
Okay.
We have Westwood, which is the private school in Camilla.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the Pelham City Schools.
So what is, because there are plenty of, especially larger cities, that have their own city school system that's separate from whatever county school system they're in. But I don't know that it's quite as common in a small town with a population of 4,000. So when did that start? And I guess what was the reason behind it and how has that worked out? Because I've got a school board in my county that I work with, but you've got a school board in your county and then a separate school board just in your city. And how does that make things a little different for you?
Well, it really does make things different. And truthfully, I don't know exactly when it started. I do understand from talking with some people that at one time the city council was the school board.
Oh, okay.
And it was more connected. Of course, that was many, many decades ago. And it's been separated since then, which I'm thankful for. We have enough with the city.
That's
I don't
right.
want to take on the schools as well. And we have a very good school board. We do have great people that are dedicated to our school. Our weakness in our school is, of course, that its tax funding has to come from the citizens of Pelham. Mm-hmm. So everyone that lives in the county pays a county tax and a county school tax. Everyone, the 4,000 of us that live in Pelham, pay a city tax, a county tax, and a city school tax. Mm-hmm. And that's where all the funding comes to support.
If you're a property owner in the city of Pelham, you still pay the county school tax from Mitchell County, or is it just?
No,
okay.
You
don't have to pay that. You just pay the school tax just for the city.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. So you pay a county tax, but not a county school tax.
Okay. Just curious if you had.
Yes.
Two school taxes as well.
Thankfully, we don't
have angry people about that, I'm sure.
That's exactly right. Thankfully, we don't. Our struggle with that is that over 50% of our students that attend the Pelham City Schools are county residents.
Oh, okay.
We're actually the largest school in the county.
So now how does that work? Now, if you're not in the city of Pelham, but you would like to go to the Pelham City Schools, which sounds like I would imagine that's because it has a good reputation. What's the process for them being able to do that as opposed to go into their own county school?
They have to apply.
Okay. So it's an application process. Obviously, a lot of people get in, but the funding is still all from just property owners in the city.
That's correct. That's correct.
Do you ever hear anything about that? Now, I know you're with the city and not the school board, but what is that? I imagine that would rub some people the wrong way.
Well, it does. It puts a strain on, obviously, tax collection within Pelham. Our schools, thankfully, don't collect a whole lot of tax. We did cap the millage rate that the schools could go to many years ago, again, before my time, in a deal where we pushed all of our sales tax to the school in exchange for limiting the millage rate so the taxes wouldn't go just sky high on our property in Pelham and make it unaffordable to live here. But having shifted the sales tax to the school, it does make the city have to make up some of that
with
the millage rate.
Yeah.
So we do struggle with that a little bit. Wouldn't trade it for anything because it's a great opportunity. We love having our school system. It's a huge asset to the town. But it does make balancing some of the spending a little more difficult.
So you say it's an asset. What do you think is the big advantage of having a city school system?
Well, it's great to have our neighborhood schools that are right here in the middle of town where people can get to them. Even though we did build a new high school on the edge of town, it's still very walkable from most of town. It's also great to have, of course, in town, but also the teachers and the administration in town who are aware of what's going on in Pelham and are able to work with us to try to better things, to work with businesses to see what education aspects they need, to look at possibly a career academy, which is something they're working on now. So it's really good to have a local school with the local control.
So you feel like it the way you say that, it sounds like it kind of enhances your sense of community because it's all in this city. Okay, that's interesting. So it's a lot more like when every small town had its own local schoolhouse and the local teacher that lived in town. It's maybe not quite as simple as that, but that same feel.
It is, yes.
Well, let's talk about, I mentioned this, I'm going to go back to this now. The city of Camilla, that's the county seat of Mitchell County, you guys, you have your own school system. They seem to have probably two or three school systems.
Well, they have
the county one.
Yes.
I know from my time speaking at your Chamber of Commerce, Pelham has its own Chamber of Commerce separate from the Camilla Mitchell County Chamber of Commerce, or is it just Camilla?
Just Camilla.
So as an outsider looking in, it seems like there might be a little bit of rivalry, hopefully friendly, between the two cities in the same county. Not unlike I was talking earlier with Lace Futch, and he talked about Pearson and Willacoochee. And back when he was growing up, they'd load up a bus full of boys from Pearson and drive to Willacoochee to beat up all the boys in Willacoochee. So I don't know if there's something similar you've experienced between Camilla and Pelham. But what's that relationship like? And how's that rivalry?
Well, historically, that has been a big rivalry.
Okay.
And it's almost unfortunate. In more recent times, we've really broken down some of that barrier. Now, there are definitely some people and, you know, certain generations anyway that are just not ever going to give up that rivalry.
Sure.
But we've really seen the impact of economic development. The towns are 8 miles apart.
Yeah.
If we compete against each other for something, we're hurting each other.
Yeah.
Our competition's not in Mitchell County. Our competition is outside, hopefully outside the state of Georgia.
Right.
But you know, it's all a scale there. But we really have to work together. And we've really come together much better in recent times to do that. As a matter of fact, this past week, We were able to have a meeting that included our county commissioners, representatives from the city of Pelham, the city of Camilla, the city of Baconton, all together in one room to talk about the T-Splosht that might be moving forward and to get that information out. But the biggest part of that was that we had elected representatives from all of the areas of our county together in one room. And to my knowledge, that's the first time that's happened in a couple decades.
Especially in the rural areas of Georgia, and really we could say America, the importance of collaboration among communities. It's just never been more valuable than it is in today's day and age. So that's good to hear that some of those things, rivalries breaking down. I'm sure there's a Friday night football game at some point that can still be a friendly rivalry, but the other 364 days, we've just got to work together. So that's good to hear that's happening here. I want to ask you, I looked up a little bit about Pelham in preparation for coming to see you, and I did not know until recently that there was a movie filmed in Pelham and about Pelham.
Yes.
As the mayor of Pelham, I'm sure you know all about it and can tell us about Prayers from Pelham.
Yes. It was a fun film. I'd actually not lived here very long when it was filmed. I'd probably been here a couple of years. And it's been very interesting to me also to look back at the film now, because it was filmed in downtown Pelham. Mm-hmm. There are street scenes. The whole thing was shot here. So it's interesting to look back at the buildings and the streets and see how things have changed.
Yeah.
In the last 10 or 12
years. I think
years.
I read it was 2003 is when it was, at least when it was released. If it might have been filmed before that, but yeah.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Somewhere around in there. So it's interesting to see the changes we've made, some of the streetscapes that have been done, and even facade grants we were able to do for some of the downtown buildings over time. But it's a nice film. I think it represents Pelham fairly well.
Yeah.
With the idea of Prayers from Pelham, and of course the idea is that there's a lady that they know is about to pass, and mm-hmm. and all of the different residents are coming and wanting to ask her to take their prayers directly to God when she goes.
And while that may sound serious, it's listed as a comedy. I think it's a 27-minute film.
It is. And it is definitely a comedy. But I think the idea of the whole community coming together to ask a lady to take their prayers directly to God is something that's not out of the realm of possibility in Pelham. It certainly, if we knew that there was a family that was struggling or somebody that would probably pass soon, I think you would see a big community outpouring. May not be exactly for the prayers, but it would certainly be represented in the food that's brought and that sort of thing.
That sense of community really comes out when there's any kind of strife, struggle, sickness. And I will say, I asked Mayor Eubanks as I was setting up my recording equipment, because I didn't want to risk embarrassing him by asking him about it and then have him not be aware of the film. I didn't know how popular it was. He immediately replied, "Now, what kind of mayor of Pelham would I be if I didn't know about Prayers from Pelham?" And then he handed me, I've got a copy in my hand of the film on DVD that I think he's going to let me borrow as long as I promise to return it. He has several copies, he said, but he tries to keep track of them. So check out Prayers from Pelham. There's an IMDb summary and listed information on there. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Not only did you have a film, there's plenty of cities that can say, hey, a movie was filmed here, a piece of a movie, but the name of your city was in the title of the film and it was all about the town. So that's a pretty cool thing happen. So what's some other things of significance or maybe celebrity that have happened in Pelham or that Pelham is tied to?
Probably our biggest celebrity as far as a resident here is Donnie Cochran. And we've had a great relationship with him, especially the past couple of years. Donnie Cochran was the first African-American commander of the Blue Angels.
Wow.
And he has certainly been an inspiration to many people, and certainly in Pelham. There are rumors of the Blue Angels flying over Pelham when he was the commander that, of course, are unconfirmed.
It doesn't show up in the flight plan.
That's right. But there are rumors of that, and it's been 2 years ago now that we were able to name a community center after Donnie Cochran. And so now we have our Donnie Cochran Community Complex, which is actually was an old school that was no longer needed after integration, that unfortunately was turned over to the state and became an incarceration facility, originally youth facility to help troubled youth, and was somewhat of a a detriment to the community, especially after it was closed and mothballed and was not a benefit to the community. And we were able to go in and get the state to turn that over to us so that we could turn it into a community complex and name it for Donnie Cochran, which has been great. We were able to put more playground equipment around it, take down all of the fencing and, you know, some of the ugly things that detracted from it. There's a gymnasium out there that we're still hoping to fix up. And Donnie Cochran was good enough to give us a lot of memorabilia that we could display in the actual community complex, which has a big room that we can use and for the community, and of course, some kitchen facility. And we were able to get the governor of Georgia, Nathan Deal, to come down and help us dedicate that as part of what we were doing to turn Georgia around and our, of course, criminal corrections things that he's working on in Georgia. This was a good example of how it could benefit the community.
Well, very cool. I know one, you can't help but see a specific building rise above all the others when you drive into Pelham, and that's the Hand Building. And I know that, well, you live on is this Hand Avenue, right, that you live on, that we're sitting in your house right now on Hand Avenue. So tell me about the Hand family, the building, and some of the significance there, because I know that's definitely a part of the Pelham story.
Yes, it is. That's the beginning of the Pelham story. Mr. Hand was on a train headed from Albany to Thomasville, and Pelham is the highest point on the railroad between the two cities. So there was a watering station here. This was back when they had steam engines. The train would stop and take on more water after making its ascent from either direction. Then he got out and walked around and saw this beautiful timber that was here in an undeveloped area and got some investors from Thomasville to open a sawmill. And the idea was while the train was stopped for water, they could load the logs onto the train and deal with it that way. So he started with a sawmill. Very intelligent man, very good businessman. Certainly expanded from there into fertilizer and phosphate and all kinds of things. And he ended up establishing a community here of workers and needed a place for them to shop. So he started a commissary, which evolved several times into several different buildings downtown and culminated in his building of the Hand Trading Company, which was completed in 1917, and is a four-story, 100,000-square-foot retail space that is modeled after Marshall Field's in Chicago. Beautiful building, has a central rotunda that has a dome on top of it about 90 feet in the air that lets in lots of light, and a beautiful building, great architecture, certainly historically significant to Pelham and also to Georgia.
Yeah.
As it is the largest rural department store. I think it still holds the title as the largest rural department store ever.
And probably will be for some time.
It is, yes.
Because it's, I don't even know what the second tallest building in Pelham is, but it might be your house.
Yeah, I think the second tallest would probably be the church steeple.
Yeah, that's true.
It towers over everything.
And that's still, I guess I would call it kind of the center of the town or the anchor of the town as far as architecture. And I know because I remember the keep coming back to our first meeting at
that chamber banquet.
That was in the bottom floor in the open part of the Hand Building.
Yes.
And there was some restaurants and stores in the bottom floor. I know there was some development going on in some of the upper floors. I know it's been a challenge to try to get enough businesses to come into 100,000 square feet facility.
Yes, it has.
But you were able to, I guess, restore that building with a project several years ago.
Well, and we're still working towards that. We had to form a joint development authority to take control of the building several years ago, over 10 years ago. And the city is a part of that. And part of what we had to do originally was look at the building. There were windows falling out onto the street and that sort of thing. And it was, we're at the point now where we either have to borrow money and tear the building down or borrow money and fix the building up.
Right.
But it's going to take money to do either one. Thankfully, we did decide that fixing it up was an investment with that money, whereas tearing it down would just be a total loss.
Well, and let me ask because I know that I've talked about this with other mayors and officials as well. Historic preservation is such an important part of capturing and keeping the character of especially a small town, but any town or city. Was there a group of people that were really in favor of just tearing it down and having it developed, or was there pretty unanimous or at least majority approval to kind of make sure it maintained?
I don't think anyone wanted to tear it down. I think the cost was the daunting part of fixing it up, and it has certainly continued to be. We're still making payments on it, and it's a significant part of our budget, unfortunately. Yeah. But we do have a developer that we believe will actually take the building this next year, and we're looking forward to getting that back in the hands of someone who can really do something with it and getting that burden off the taxpayers.
Good. We may have already answered with some of the things we already talked about, but if someone were to come to Pelham for just a day or two, what would be the one thing you would want to make sure they saw, whether it's the historic building or a particular event? What's one thing you'd want to make sure that, hey, if you're coming to Pelham, you need to come and see this or participate in this?
We have several good events during the year. We have a couple of car shows that have been very successful, our wildlife festival. So there are things to come and see in Pelham. But if you're just driving through, really the architecture, I think, is a great place to start. And of course, if you have some more time, go into the buildings. We did an art walk a couple of years ago, and I have a pamphlet on that, which was very good. And it spells out some of the things we have. Of course, the Hand Memorial United Methodist Church is the only Neil Reed church, I believe. So we actually have the famous Atlanta architect Neil Reed designed our church, which is a beautiful building. Our First Baptist Church, of course, is also a beautiful building with some great stained glass windows that are certainly of note. And as you go down our central street there, which is Matheson Avenue, we have several historic buildings all the way down the street, which are interesting to see. Our post office has a historic mural in it that a lot of people like to come and see. The Hand Building, of course, is very obvious and interesting to be able to walk through and to get into that space in the middle of it and look up at the dome. Our Carnegie Library that's next to it, we're getting ready to do more restoration on that library. We started a couple of years ago with work on that, and that's a beautiful historic building. Our old depot, which now houses our chamber and welcome center, as well as a hall that can be rented out, is, again, a nice historic, significant building that a lot of people like to come and see. And then we have several homes around town that are just worth, you know, at least driving by and looking at and seeing if you catch somebody on their porch. So,
now, you talked about how reluctant you were to be the mayor, but I'm going to say you're getting good as a politician. I asked you to name one thing, and you just named a bunch of things going on in Pelham. But it's because there's so much, and there is. You can just tell driving through town that the community has just done a good job with historic preservation all the way down, like you've said before, the homes. So it is the charm is evident as soon as you cross into the city limits. I wanted to ask you just a couple more questions just kind of about the town. In most places, there is someone with, I'll say, outsized influence other than elected officials. Is there a person in Pelham that maybe not runs things, but certainly you need to have them on board in order to get things to happen?
Well, we have groups in Pelham.
Okay.
And thankfully, they work together very well. And I'm sure there are, you know, influential people in all of those groups, but everything from our Main Street program and our chamber working well together to our garden club that actually takes on some of the downtown spaces and parks to help maintain all of that. We have great civic clubs. We have our Civitan Club and Rotary Club who are very involved in things that go on in town. So I really don't know that there's a particular person anymore that we would point out, but even that, and I'll tell you, the churches, we have great churches who get out in the community and do things in the community. They don't just stay within their walls. They actually get
That's
out
important.
In the community and do things. So I think it's really the groups. And right now we have all these groups working together. We're seeing the positive influence it's having, and it's inspiring everybody to continue to work together.
Yeah. Well, before we wrap up, I'll give you another opportunity. Tell us why someone should come to visit or live in Pelham, Georgia.
Well, come to visit for a good, friendly, relaxing weekend. There are things to do. You can walk from just about anywhere to any of the downtown parks for any of the events and all. It's a beautiful town to walk around and be a part of. So it's just a nice, friendly, relaxing weekend. We have a few things. We do have a vineyard that's right outside of town that's producing some of the best wine in Georgia right now. So there are a few things like that that you can come and do in the area. But just come for a relaxing, friendly weekend where you can actually walk down the street and wave to people on the porches and speak to them and enjoy antique car shows or wildlife festivals and the different things that go on with that.
Well, Mayor James Eubanks, thanks for being a part of Small Town Podcast.
All right. Thank you.
Well, small towners, that will do it for this episode of the Small Town Podcast. I want to thank our ever faithful sponsor, the Georgia Municipal Association, for all of their continued support. I also want to thank Mayor James Eubanks for being our guest. And thanks also to Caitlin Hatcher and the Pelham Chamber of Commerce for supporting this episode. Go check out Pelham online and like and leave comments on the social media pages. I'll talk to you soon, and y'all. y'all are welcome to come to Ocilla anytime.
This episode of the Small Town Podcast was mixed and mastered by my friends at Resonate Recordings. If you're looking to increase the quality of your podcast, or if you're looking to start a podcast of your own, talk to my friends at Resonate Recordings, resonaterecordings.com.
We stand adjourned.